Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am here flying solo ahead of our Memorial Day weekend. So welcome all of you in Steelers Nation who are showing up here for a kind of a special episode, because I don't want to dive into some of the news necessarily with OTAs. The big news, obviously, being that Kevin Colbert's successor has been named as Omar Khan, and a handful of others as assistants and others in that front office are shifting around and being hired. We're going to get that after the holiday break. But some of the news coming out of the OTAs, as you know, I tried telling Flash just the other day, we're never going to be able to stop talking about quarterbacks, even to the point where I was at Backrooms yesterday, and I'm like, man, I still have to pinch myself and think, after watching a video of Miles Jack and Devin Bush on the field, I'm like, Miles Jack is a Steeler. And here I am today, I'm going to be talking about Mason Rudolph. And it's because as you head into these OTAs and working out in shorts and t-shirts and everything of this nature, everyone is ragging on this guy right here, Mason Rudolph. Hey, he's a bum. Hey, he shouldn't be on the team anymore, et cetera, et cetera. And to be completely honest, it is just so bizarre to me why everyone, it's not a versus type thing. This is more of a clarification show. And I apologize if I'm a broken record, if I'm beating a dead horse. Unfortunately, as all of you know, we're going to be doing this probably all summer, probably until we know who the guy is. If Kenny Pickett ends up playing and he lights the world on fire and we know he's the dude, or at least they've given him the keys to the castle, he's the dude for the next 2-3 years, then we're not going to be talking about Mitchell Trubisky or Mason Rudolph, or geez, even far off into the distance here with Chris Oladokun, who, by the way, I got to put this out here, there's just so many people, well, what's so bad if he ends up being this, that, and the other thing, and like this really hidden gem type pick? Let's say he ends up being Tony Romo, probably, what, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, undrafted quarterback of all time, right? The numbers he put up, I know he didn't really win anything, but you just think about that. Wow, undrafted. That's pretty crazy in and of itself. So Chris Oladokun, my kind of take on him is just 20 picks from the bottom of the draft doesn't necessarily put you in a position to just light the world on fire. It's going to take some time. It's going to have to take somebody getting hurt or being bad ahead of him if he has any type of opportunity like that. For the most part, as we've mentioned on the show, I see him as a potential practice squad guy. We've got that news to cover too, and we will. But the practice squad stuff changing a little bit, IR changing and that for next season, but still very similar to the way it operated under the COVID rule. So there's space there for Chris to make this team and emulate the Deshaun Watsons, Lamar Jacksons, and everyone else that the Steelers will be facing this season. We went through half of this schedule and saw that they're facing some pretty agile, mobile, athletic quarterbacks. So this is what he offers as part of running scout team. And that's only going to help his development as well. But people think that's automatically, hey, Mason, he's the odd guy out. Steelers drafted 2 quarterbacks. They brought in a guy in free agency. That means they don't like this guy. He would be gone already. Well, some of the argument is, well, they're going to keep 4 quarterbacks into camp. Yeah, that's absolutely true. If they thought Oladokun could be QB3, he would be QB3 right now, and they would just bring in a camp arm like a Dustin Vaughn or a Taj Boyd or any of these players that they've had over the years. So they haven't always had that luxury of what happened a few seasons ago, where Josh Dobbs is the backup and they draft Mason Rudolph. Actually, Landry Jones is the backup, but he ends up losing his job and they slide everyone else up. They weren't going to get rid of Mason Rudolph, and they weren't sure with a 4th-round pick that Josh Dobbs was going to be the guy, et cetera, et cetera. And I see Oladokun as a lesser version at this moment on paper than Josh Dobbs. So how does Mason Rudolph factor into all this? Exactly what I'm saying. People are saying, well, trade the guy. Well, if you trade him, then you're acknowledging that he has some sort of value to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to figure out who their next guy is under center. not necessarily the next Ben Roethlisberger, because I don't think there is a next Ben Roethlisberger, but who the next guy is that could at least keep the ship afloat, maybe while there's a very strong defense surrounding them. That's perhaps the best way to look at this, because I'm not exactly sure that Mitch Trubisky is the guy either. And I know there's a lot of people that will argue with me on this, and they'll say, well, Mitch Trubisky was in Chicago and he had a really bad offense and he had a bad coach, but he made a Pro Bowl and the team made the playoffs twice. And, you know, the one season it made twice, it was part Nick Foles. Trubisky got benched because he wasn't doing well. And that was his fourth year in Chicago. And yes, Chicago's a dumpster fire. I understand. So one thing I said on the last show was I like the I don't knows. And there are some I don't knows with Mitch Trubisky. I know he fumbles the ball. I know his deep arm accuracy is in question. I know he's more athletic and mobile than Mason Rudolph. And there's I don't knows with Mason Rudolph also. And there's a lot more of them. But when people say that they have seen enough of Mason Rudolph and to trade him, I'm like, is there enough there? I mean, you see somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo in New England, and he's playing behind Tom Brady, and he's playing for Bill Belichick, and the 49ers give him a huge deal and trade, I believe, a second-round pick. That's originally where he came out of college, was in the second round, with only, like, not even 100 pass attempts in the NFL in his pro career, which I think is crazy, because Mason Rudolph has a heck of a lot more there. And by the way, I have a companion article with some of these statistics floating over at steelcityunderground.com right now. If you want to just punch that into your web browser and take a look. And I don't have them all here. I'm willing to bet. I just have his 10 starts. Mason Rudolph, by the way. But he's had 333 pass attempts and he starts most recently the overtime tie against the Detroit Lions. 50 pass attempts. That's a career high. You have your backup quarterback throwing the ball 50 times. And he gets blamed for ties and losses, where Pat Freiermuth is maybe, and Deontay Johnson fumble the football, or Kendrick Green, he sends this thing sailing over Mason Rudolph's head. A couple other high snaps makes it hard to bring the ball down. Even when you're Ben Roethlisberger, we saw that last season. And we'll have some more to talk about with Kendrick Green and some of the things with OTAs too, but just trying to hammer out my thoughts short and succinctly for pre-holiday here. I wasn't even sure I was going to hop on the horn, but I just felt so compelled after I wrote to also say some things about this. And if you think you've seen enough out of Mason Rudolph, it's really tough to say that in my wheelhouse over here. Protects the football decently well. I understand he has, in these 10 starts, 333 pass attempts, 60.9 completion percentage. He was sub 60 in a couple of them, but so's Mitchell Trubisky too. If you take a look at his big body of work, he has 50 starts. When you have 50 starts, and they made a Pro Bowl. The team made the playoffs. They had the best defense in the NFL in 2018. There's no denying that. And they brought in Trey Burton. They drafted Anthony Miller. He had Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard in his backfield. They had some tools to work with. And, of course, Allen Robinson, a wide receiver one, practically a steal for the LA Rams right now as the Bears continue to just spin wheels and not know what they're doing as an organization. So you hope that the transition here with quarterback and going from Kevin Colbert to Omar Khan works out pretty well, right? Or else the Steelers could be bad. Like, some of these historic franchises now are historically bad. The Giants, the Bears, you don't want to see that. But I don't know that you're going to see that. Even these quarterbacks that are in heading into camp right now, it might still take a few years to find the actual person. I'm just saying, don't rule out anybody just yet. Some of those things could be true about Trubisky, but he operated with a lot of short fields. He didn't throw for a whole lot of yardage. Let me see. I'm going to pull this up. In 2018, was it? No, he went over 3,000. I'm sorry. It was touchdowns 24 to 12. So he still had a decent amount of interception. He's 2-1. I mean, if the Steelers get that out of him, that's great. He's been about that, 17 to 10, 16 to 8. The 27 fumbles and the 111 sacks, especially for a mobile guy. Now, somebody's going to say the line's bad. Oh boy, I hope not. Because the Steelers just signed James Daniels, who's been his teammate. He's supposed to be a dude. I know there's five guys on the offensive line. Trust me. But again, I play devil's advocate with all of this stuff. Honestly. And you have to. Otherwise, number one, you're not a true fan, I don't believe. I will call out fandom. That's fair to say. And number two, you're just, I don't know, you're just never going to be fair to anybody if this is the way you think with Mason Rudolph. I'll put this up once again. Getting a little off-air coffee here. Just to formulate my thoughts. I'm going to be jumping around all over the place, but I get it. I've said it before. Trubisky, top of his class, second round or second overall pick, first rounder. Lots of pedigree there. Maybe Matt Nagy just doesn't know what he's doing. Quite honestly, that's why he's not there anymore. They have it's quarterback and coach all the time, and they're inherently tied together. But Mason Rudolph with just the 10 starts. I would say you know more about Mitchell Trubisky with 50 starts. Now, 50 starts gives him an edge, obviously. So if he's in OTAs taking the first-team reps, that's about what I expected. I expected Mason to take the second-team reps. I expect Mason to be there because he's the only guy who's put on this Steelers uniform. Yeah, I'm homering it. I had all the quarterback. I have a Duck jersey somewhere, too. I'm probably going to end up buying all of these guys. Except maybe Trubisky, I might hold off. I might not get a lot of use out of that. It all depends. They did draft Kenny Pickett. So might have to get a Pickett jersey too. Put one in the closet, right? I'm a fan of all the quarterbacks. I'm not trying to trash anybody. Everybody has their limitations. I think I just get a little more on the defensive side of Rudolph because everybody's just so damn negative about the guy. And I'm trying to point out some positives. It isn't necessarily going to say he's going to be over the moon because with 10 starts, we get 50 starts with him. He may not be better than Mitchell Trubisky in those 50 starts, but then again, he could be. That's the I don't know aspect of this. And if he could complete 60-some percent of his passes, I'm going to tell you who he was working with, too. But 2,081 yards, 13 TDs to 10 interceptions, very much so lopsided in that four-interception game. That's the only game he's thrown more than a... Has he thrown more than... Yeah, he's only thrown like a single pick in other games. He doesn't have like multiple interception games in these starts. All the other games are zero or maybe a one here or there. And 15 sacks doesn't go down very often. Obviously, the worst games he had, back-to-back. Goes to Cleveland on a short week. Plays up there. They're raucous. Their team is turning it around. Deontay Johnson bleeding out of his ear leaves. Juju and James Conner were trying to get on the field for that game. I don't even know if they both played the on that Sunday before, if they got dinged, but I remember it was a to-do, and they both ended up leaving that game. And that's a lot of, like, when you say 10 starts. Okay, 8 of those starts were during that 2019 season. So let's take a look at that 2019 season. I'm going to come back. I don't really know. I come back to the Browns game, but it's kind of like a collective with this 2019 season. And Mason Rudolph ends up becoming the Steelers starting quarterback because Ben Roethlisberger pops his elbow during, we assume, it may have been before, week 2 against the Seattle Seahawks. If you remember the opening game against the New England Patriots, it was just absolute garbage, right? The Steelers couldn't get anything done. They looked absolutely miserable. Dante Moncrief was out there dropping balls. He was supposed to be the big free agent signing. This is post Antonio Brown, post Le'Veon Bell. 33-3 loss. Steelers lose 4 of their first 5 games of this season. And somehow they're still in playoff contention. It's not all Rudolph. And some of this is Mike Tomlin magic too with his coaching. But man, it really makes you wonder how the hell did they end up doing this? That's funny. I forgot about Josh Gordon being in New England. I was just looking at the box score from this game. Yeah, it was 20-0 at halftime. And the Steelers get Chris Boswell 19-yard field goal because they couldn't punch it in. Maybe a sign of things to come, even if Ben is healthy in 2019. And some people even feel, yeah, he should have moved on from Ben before that. Nah, I don't give that benefit of the doubt. You got a guy that's been there, done that. Everything in the league, you just don't walk away from him like that. Yeah, there's benefit of the doubt there too. It may have helped if he wanted to retire early. He took a lot of sacks last year compared to the previous year before that. But the offensive line, for the most part, in flux, the offense in a total transition. You went from Brown and Bell and Marcus Gilbert left. You had the rest of the offensive line. Ramon Foster retires. And then the big three, the all-pro slash Pro Bowl guys every year. Pouncey, DeCastro, Villanueva. That's a lot to overcome. They had still never really found the Heath Miller replacement during all of this. They tried Vance McDonald, Jesse James. So who exactly, 2019, Mason Rudolph comes in. No reps, nothing. Got to come in and play the Seahawks, which I believe the Steelers should have won. They should have won both of these games, actually. Seahawks game. Terrell Edmonds gets a bogus pass interference call. Let's see if I can pull that up. Oh, I remember it was for a lot of yards. Offensive pass interference. Yeah, you had some of that too. Juju Smith-Schuster. That didn't help. Terrell Edmonds, 38 yards. Second and 20. It went from Seattle's 27 to Pittsburgh's 35, about a half minutes remaining in that game. Tall order. Rudolph, no snaps at all. No real prep. No quarterback coach. Randy Fichtner was promoted to offensive coordinator, don't forget, for Todd Haley the year before that. And the Steelers did not replace him from his quarterback coaching position. So he had nobody guiding either Mason Rudolph or Duck during all this. You had some double duty being pulled. It is interesting, though. Rudolph, 12-19, 112 yards, two touchdowns, interception. That interception, by the way, off the hands of Dante Moncrief, a 92.4 rating in those two quarters. That does not count as a start. That is not part of the statistics I pulled from the 10 starts, by the way. But it's interesting to see. Remember, Minkah Fitzpatrick comes in, big trade. They play at San Francisco. James Conner fumbles around the 20-yard line, his own 20. San Fran punches it in. They end up walking away with a victory. The Steelers win at home, their first win of the season, back when the Bengals weren't thought of as Super Bowl contenders, 27-3. Then you had the game. A lot of people say it is the turning point. Mason Rudolph hasn't been the same. I argue that that's not necessarily true. He wasn't the same guy immediately right after that, but that wasn't it. It's a series of events. It's like Lemony Snickets. So you have the Earl Thomas hit where he gets concussed. Up before that Earl Thomas hit, 67% of his passes completed, 646 yards, seven touchdowns and two interceptions. It's a 102.5 quarterback rating and only three sacks in 3.5 games. Pretty good numbers, even though the Steelers weren't winning. But turnovers and other factors played into this. And again, remember Marlon Humphrey punches the ball out at the end of this. This is one of Mason's starts, and it does go as an L since he was the starting quarterback. Goes as an L on his record. But Juju fumbles. Justin Tucker just got to punch it in overtime, and it all she wrote. Steelers are 1-4. Stick a fork in them. This franchise is going in the crapper. Or is it? No, not necessarily. After he comes out of the concussion protocol, don't forget, Devin Bush with those two turnovers in the first quarter against LA already? The Chargers, Phillip Rivers, his last year kind of there, and they made him look silly. And they almost came back, but they couldn't overcome that. He comes back now, Rudolph against the Miami Dolphins. They got a three-game homestand. They play the Rams during this. They win all three of these games. He completes 62.4% of his passes, 684 yards, very similar numbers. His touchdowns went down from 7-4, four touchdowns, two picks. Six sacks, three of those in the Rams game, of course, with Aaron Donald, Clay Matthews. You remember he was there. So the quarterback rating dips a little bit, 84.8. But those three games, still win. Now they're winning. They're not losing. His numbers aren't better, but they're winning. And this is why I think you can't give up on him. Just right there. But then the Myles Garrett incident happens. He's never thrown three or more picks in a game. He's never thrown, I don't know. I don't think Mason, have to look here once again and see, but I don't think Mason is on the hook even for multiple interception games in 2019. I'm going to pull this up really fast here. So let's see. Yeah, just the one. just the one against the Browns here. And again, like that short night, short week. Really, it's a bad situation. I don't like it this year with week three coming around the corner. two AFC North games in the first 3 weeks. And how many three games and what? Like, it's not even 20 days. I think it's like 15 days, not even. Pretty rough to go coming up with this season. But anyway, yeah, Mason, pretty serviceable. If you want to say he's only going to ever be a backup quarterback, I'm okay with that. He's got some experience, but he doesn't seem to be a turnover magnet. Fumbling the ball, taking sacks. I understand he just stands there and people think he's statuesque. I did have an image of him somewhere running. I know somebody was going to potentially laugh at it, but that's not it. But, you know, people just, I don't know. Maybe they just think he's a pretty boy and he doesn't have, I don't know how you do that with Mitch Trubisky. He's a pretty boy too. See all the modeling that he ends up doing, but keep back on track. That 2019 season, that's the Myles Garrett helmet incident. And this is a guy, Mason Rudolph, who's trying to still compete and he's throwing the ball over the field and he's got pretty crappy supporting cast around him throughout the season, not just this game. And it's not just, you know, a lot of people didn't like Randy Fichter and his offense. That's why Matt Canada's there now. And that's his OC, no quarterback coach. And then you've got Deontay Johnson's a rookie, and you've got James Washington. And a lot of people say James Washington was misused, and his best season is with Mason Rudolph as his quarterback. And Deontay Johnson's a promising guy coming around the corner, and that's with Mason Rudolph as his quarterback. But then he also had Juju was sitting out an extended period of time. James Conner was sitting out an extended period of time. Vance McDonald was injured quite a bit. Actually, Vance McDonald, to actually rewind, he had, I think, the most offensive snaps of anyone in the 2019 season. If you think about that, with the way McDonald was on and off the field, he missed two games entirely that year. That's even including offensive line. I think the non-offensive linemen. I'll restate that. So out of all of the skill position players, wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs, you've got Vance McDonald, who still missed two games, playing the most snaps, the most offensive snaps of anyone on the Steelers offense. That includes the quarterbacks as an individual. Right? That's messed up. So who exactly was Mason Rudolph out here playing with? Again, I know, broken record stuff, but guys like Tevin Jones, who dropped two passes in that game and was canned immediately like the next morning. Does anyone remember Ryan Switzer, Johnny Holton, Deion Kane? I already mentioned Dante Moncrief. I guess I listed Johnny Holton twice. He probably should be listed twice because most of these guys aren't even in the league anymore. I think Nick Vinette's still toiling around somewhere. You had Xavier Grimble, who was, I think, put on IR and then released off of IR. We know how those things work, the funny business. Benny Snell. I'm still not out on Benny Snell, but geez, oh man. First year, right? Benny Snell, yeah. 1920, yeah. Rookie slogging it out there with this offense, not getting anywhere. Jalen Samuels and some of the Wildcat shenanigans. Because, you know, Jalen Samuels throwing a pass 3 yards in front of him for an interception doesn't hurt the team. So the Steelers lose. They lose. People can't go after a Thursday night game. They got to go and show up at work or wherever. Family, friends over the weekend. People that are Browns fans. I live that daily. Trust me. And they can't talk smack. And they're all upset. And they point the finger, once again, at Mason Rudolph. And I can't honestly figure out why that is. It's bizarre to me. Other running backs. Trey Edmonds, Kareth White, Tony Brooks-James. Like I said, most of these guys out of the league are no more than Trey Edmonds, still like a practice squad, kind of on and off the 53 when they need him. That's really crazy. And I understand you're going to say, well, that was 2019, you know, not for long league, where most of these players are already beyond whatever contract. Yeah, they were out of the league the very next year. Steelers were just hit so bad with bad luck in 2019, injuries and otherwise, especially Mason Rudolph. I really, really do feel for this guy. After the Myles Garrett incident, he really wasn't the same then. is being called out for some words he may or may not have been said also, which is some character things that people are running him through the mud about. And the way that game was lost, it's tough. That is tough. That's a tough position to be in. And like I said, when you have a pitcher, maybe their mind isn't in it that day, and you have a goalie, whether that's in hockey or a goalkeeper in soccer, there's mental to it. And I mentioned Louis Domingue, why they hung with him. A hot hand. You know, Mike Sullivan's done that with the Pens before, with Murray, actually. Pretty crazy stuff, but there is a mental aspect to this. It gets pulled. They just aren't getting it done against the Bengals, a must-win game. They go with the duck, pick up a couple games, lose a couple games. The guy comes back in, Mason Rudolph, throws a touchdown pass, 30-ish yards. Deontay Johnson at Jets game. That Jets game was must-win. Actually, even the following week, they still could have maybe made the playoffs, but geez, between the three or four interceptions that duck threw against the Buffalo Bills, that game was moved into primetime. They were still... They got a game moved into primetime because they were in playoff contention even with this skeleton crew. Mason Rudolph comes back in and gets his collarbone broken and finishes the season that way. And he doesn't have another opportunity until they play the Cleveland Browns in week 17 of the 2020 season. And everybody sat for that game. Marquise Pouncey is sat. TJ Watt is out. Joe Hayden, I believe, was either sat or it was COVID. I know he was out also for the wild card game. Browns had to win this game. They weren't sitting anybody. Cam Hayward, a lot of the defense wasn't out there. And this is where Mason Rudolph becomes the only quarterback since Big Ben arrived in town in the Steel City back years ago, 18 years. Only one other guy for the Steelers. This includes Charlie Batch, Landry Jones, Michael Vick, Byron Leftwich, Dennis Dixon. There's been other quarterbacks who have played, and Mike Tomlin has won with other quarterbacks, or he's at least had mixed success. But he's the first guy that threw for over 300 yards, not named Ben Roethlisberger, since Roethlisberger was in town. That's a really crazy statistic to think about. The Steelers lose that game by 2 points. They tried to get a two-point conversion, didn't work at the end. They made the comeback. They were down 24-9 in the fourth quarter and closed it out to 24-22. 22-39, 315 yards, two touchdowns, just one pick and one sack, 89.2 rating. Some interesting things, but they also allowed Josh Dobbs to come in and play some gimmick plays, throw a couple of passes. He had five attempts. He completed four of them for 2 yards. That's the reason Josh Dobbs was no longer a viable option on this roster, and Mason Rudolph still is. It's a pretty interesting stuff. The Detroit Lions game last season, like I said, goes into OT. Bad weather. They had the opening drive. Rudolph scores. That didn't happen very often. It happened against the Green Bay Packers, which surprisingly on the road. Steelers offense pretty brutal. But with Mason Rudolph at the helm there, some people didn't necessarily like whatever. We don't know with Ray McLeod how that play was supposed to be drawn up or designed or thrown short, or it's one you would like to get back. And that's because of lack of experience. And you're going to have bad experience, and you're going to learn from that experience, and hopefully it's good experience. I'm not out here to say necessarily that he's going to win the starting job. I'm not going to say that anything that I just said won anybody over. But the fact is, I don't think that we've seen enough in just 10 starts. I mean, Trubisky, 46 starts with 20 or more pass attempts. If you think he has the hidden value, you got to give the same benefit of the doubt to Rudolph. Why not? You've seen a lot more of Trubisky and still think maybe you didn't get everything out of him. Fantastic if he ends up playing that way. By the way, this isn't a anti-Mitchell Trubisky or anti-Kenny Pickett rant. This is the Steelers need a quarterback rant. And I'm going to keep the guy who's been here, the one that they drafted and developed. The I don't knows. They got a brand new one that they took in the first round. They've got a free agent that was the best free agent available in this market. There's a lot of variables and factors. They've went every path. And like I said before, I was pretty sure about this, but the guy, why did Kevin Colbert make these decisions and make these draft picks? Because the guy that was going to take his position was already in the building. So he's on board with this stuff too. We'll see what ends up happening. There's still a lot of time to go. I hope I did cover just about everything. By the way, on the article, I have some Ben Roethlisberger stats. He didn't even throw as many passes as Mason has in these 10 starts in his entire rookie season, if you think about that. So protecting Ben from Ben. Had decent completion percentage. But if you look over his first three seasons, Ben Roethlisberger, 40 starts, 62.4 completion percentage. That's fantastic. Yes, that's what we want. 8,500, 19 yards on 1,032 attempts. Good. Good stuff. 52 touchdowns to 43 interceptions. Those are the kind of numbers that gets Mitchell Trubisky released, cut, not re-signed by the Chicago Bears. Just keep that one in mind. And maybe if they didn't let Ben get those 40 starts, or are you shipping him off just yet? There's got to be some patience. I think the Steelers are a franchise that's patient. They could afford to be patient because that coach isn't inherently tied to the quarterback and stuck with him. And so like some of these situations like Nagy and Trubisky and blah, blah, blah. And by the way, Trubisky started with John Fox there in Chicago too. So you have to mention that. But anyways, folks, don't hurt yourself out there. I don't know how many people blow off fireworks for Memorial Day, but I'm talking about the grill. Don't burn your fingers. Enjoy your burgers and hot dogs and whatnot. Enjoy this weekend. And hopefully we'll be back and cover some of the OTAs, the GM news, some of the other NFL rules that are changing around. Maybe I'll have Flash on the horn here. I just know the back and forth, me and Brian and me and Flash and even the professor, Zach Meckler. Just wanted to get some of these points in. You can see the full article at steelcityunderground.com. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We enjoy everyone. We appreciate everyone's support. Love the comments. Keep them coming. Keep the ratings and reviews coming as well, wherever you may be watching or listening. My name is Joe Kuzma, and as each and every time, we encourage our viewers and listeners out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.